today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
But something new is happening in Germany. They call American ice football. And what they do is they play American rules football on a hockey rink on ice.
Über den Lauf. Es geht über. Da ist er. Es geht über Ailton. Kleines, dickes Ailton mit dem Touchdown für den Norden.
And if you're worried about Michael not getting enough protein in his cereal, do what I do. Cut up a hot dog in it.
Hot dog goes in the raisin bran. Are you just a nomadic swinging comedian that's out on the road grabbing tail? Is that what it is? What's going on with you?
I've had a... I'm not a closer, Mike.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeOmaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Hello, everybody.
Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show. Oscar is out. He will be back on tomorrow's show, and we're looking forward to reuniting with him. He's been under the weather for the last few days, and he will be in studio with us tomorrow. Let's get right to our guest for today, the working comedian himself. A man who is constantly on the road. You remember him, a lot of our listeners, from the Rob and Joe show. And he's everywhere. The man never stops working. He is the definition of a working comic. And the biggest show he does right now is he travels on the road. God, that's an interesting looking set.
What's up, gentlemen?
Hi there, Rob.
Hey, Mike. How you doing, buddy?
Rob Mayer joins us right now. Thank you for coming in and being our guest today. I was realizing that I'm constantly following you as to where you are with your stand up, and you've gone all over the place, and you've done a lot of it for the yourself, and you've done a lot of it with David Koechner and the Office Trivia Show, and I mean last couple of years, and then sometimes it's 98 Rock, sometimes you're doing stuff with Joe. It's busy. You have a pretty
Don't forget his Die Laughing Productions too. They do the murder mysteries.
The murder mystery,
mysteries with Justin.
The DLP Agenda podcast.
That's it. But that what's the DLP Agenda podcast?
Well, you know, the Rob and Joe show is the podcast that we've done for years. And in a year and a half or so ago, Justin Schlegel from 98 Rock, part of our murder mysteries, been on your show.
Yep.
He joined the podcast, and then, you know, at some point, Joe and I are like, we can't call it the Rob and Joe show when there's another guy on here that's more famous than us, and his name's Justin, and it's not Rob or Joe. And so we knew we had to do a rebranding, and so Justin had begun to have myself and Joe would always fill in on the morning show on 98 Rock. And then some of the other guys that are in our Die Laughing Productions murder mystery, Eric Woodworth, Tommy Simbaza, are also local comedians.
Eric makes me laugh when you mention his name.
Eric is so funny. And they started to fill in the mornings and afternoons as well. And a texter texted in and said that Justin had some DLP agenda to take over the morning show. So when he saw that, because at this point we were talking about rebranding, and we talked about just calling it like the Die Laughing Podcast, and that sounded just like, hey, it's the great show. It just sounded stupid.
DLP Agenda has a little pop to it.
So I was like, that sounds like that should be the name of a podcast. So we rebranded to the DLP Agenda. It's essentially the same show, but we have Justin, and it's actually better. It's the best. We're the best we've ever been, Mike.
You know what, man? I mean, the proof is in the gigs. You guys are always at it. You're always doing it. And what did now? As far as you are concerned, when did you start working with David Koechner from The Office? Who you know? Now you've been with him for a couple of years now, right?
A long time. I originally met him at the Arlington Cinnamon Draft House. This is probably 8 or 9 years ago at this point.
Okay. Wow.
I was just booked to open for him. Had never met him. And we had a good time. We hit it off, and then he's you know, we exchanged information, and he goes, well, when I'm here next year, open for me again. I said, okay. And so that happened the following year. And then we did a gig up at, I think we're about to do this again in April, up at the Mohegan Sun in Connecticut.
It's a real deal up there. That's yeah, much, so, it might sound like, you know, like when I first went to Foxwoods, mm-hmm. and it's the same location as the Mohegan Sun up there, and I literally thought, this is way, way back in the day, that the idea of an Indian casino was going to be a warehouse in the middle of the woods, and I had no idea. I didn't even know the concept and yep. what it is in the middle of the hills of my Connecticut, which was a wonderful state song for a while, is this, you know, tiny little, but it's really not tiny, this megalopolis, this little gambling mecca in Ledyard, Connecticut, which is just that's a big, big gig. It's between New York and Boston, and that's where people go. So that's a big deal, I would imagine. That was a pretty cherry gig for you at the time, right?
It was a great gig, and we had – it was the weekend of the AFC-NFC title games. I believe it was the year that Denver beat Tom Brady New England. So it was okay. Peyton Manning's last – okay. Hurrah. And we had this giant snowstorm here in D.C., and which I finagled into convincing my girlfriend that I had to stay in Connecticut for another night because I can't drive back. So, and so I may have just used that to the gig was over. I was just there to watch football and gamble and drink and not have to get back to the house that needed the shoveling and the. I'm a horrible boyfriend. Anyway, but yeah, there was an opportunity there, Mike, and I took it.
That relationship is
it's ended. Yes, absolutely.
It's no longer.
I right? wonder yeah. whose fault that is. But
you were very sweet, though. I saw you online one time referencing your.
We get along great.
And you were very cool mm-hmm. about it. It was very, still as lovely as ever. And
is it easier now that you've broken up to get along?
Yeah, it's always easier to get along with someone when you're not around them that much. I mean, you guys get that.
I'd love to offer counterpoint. Right I would love to offer counterpoint for that one if I know. The area. Yeah, go ahead.
No, so then. We did gigs off and on, and you know, is obviously when he was busier with TV and movies and stuff. And then you know, COVID hit, and that sort of he had this show, Bless This Mess, that was a really funny show with Dax Shepard, and it felt like it would have done well, but they had to shoot it on location. It was a more expensive show to shoot, and then post COVID, all those things kind of went away, and so he. We started doing stuff a little more often, and then really, you know, and he says this all the time, I have five kids. I started doing stand-up because I need to know that I always can have work. And, you know, the movies, TV, you're relying on somebody to hire you. Stand-up, you can just get hired. You can just, you know, you can go out there and try to do it yourself. So 2022, I guess, the last 2.5 years, I feel like it's one long tour. Like, I get confused.
It feels like following you, it feels like it is. Like, you've been all over the place. And David Koechner, for those of you that might not be diehard Office fans, was also in one of the funniest movies ever made, which was Anchorman. In fact, the movie I'm not a massive Will Ferrell fan, but the Anchorman movie was my favorite Will Ferrell movie. And due in large part to the supporting cast with Steve Carell and David Koechner as the sports guy.
Yes. So
with
good.
Lots
classic.
Of homoerotic fun. Yes, yes Rob, you have your
hand up. I was going to say, you actually will be with David at Magoobies this weekend, right?
Yeah, we have the Office trivia shows Thursday night, and then Friday and Saturday is stand-up. The trivia show really kind of changed things because I wanted to do it, and he wanted to do it, but his agents initially were concerned that was going to take people away from the stand-up shows. And, you know, would there be any money if people came to the Office trivia show but then didn't come to the stand-up? How would that affect the weekend? And my whole point, which I proved to be right occasionally, that's a different audience. That's a whole.
Yeah.
There's nothing more. The Office, especially, you know, at COVID when everyone was home, it was the most watched Netflix show of all time.
Yeah, it's so, all and it's always on Comedy Central. It's like always background on. Noise. Yeah.
Yes.
So you can grab tickets at MagoobiesJokehouse.com. Mike, I've actually seen David and Rob together.
Mm-hmm.
And it is so cool because they've been performing together that they will actually, they work as an overlap, almost like a team. They do crowd work that complements each other. They do a great crossover in the bit. And it's a treat to go see them. The crowd work is sensational, which has always been my favorite.
What's the biggest difference between the diehard fans that go to the Office trivia shows and the stand-up audience? What's the difference between them? I mean, they all kind of still know David. And,
yeah.
You know, and then people have seen you before in stand-up. But what's the biggest difference between the two shows?
The difference is you get more women at the Office trivia show.
Nice.
You got to it before I was able to ask.
Right. Yeah.
That's awesome. I love that. That's
because a lot of his movies, you know, it's their guys love these movies. Guys quote Anchorman, quote guys. But in The Office, everybody seems to love. So it feels more, it's the girl has driven to go to that show. It's more, it's the date that she wanted to go to.
I have a very, very specific question to ask you, Rob, you know, being the single guy that you are in your, and you can answer this or not. I don't care. And, you know, this, if it incriminates you, don't answer, but in your time of doing these shows, have you ever, perhaps under the influence of a few cocktails, lied about the significance of your association with the show, The Office?
I accidentally. So, at one point we did have a trivia. One of the questions was I ever involved in the show in any shape or form? And people I didn't like it because they were really staring at me, and I was like, okay, it's a little much. And then a lot of them would say yes, and then when I'd say no, they'd be a sad. Then I just feel like a loser. But then before the show begins, I come out and I explain the rules. And a few times I've said, I am, you know, Dave's opening act, co-creator of this, The Office Trivia Show. And people have misunderstood that to me saying that I've co-created the show, The Office, not the trivia show.
Oh, okay.
So people come up to me like, oh, you co-created the Office? And I'm like,
they think you're a producer.
That's exactly. Awesome. I'm like, do you think I'd be here in Fort Wayne, Indiana? I would not. Trust me.
I think you ask that trivia question about whether or not you're involved, you should just whip off your hat dramatically and say, I'm Toby.
Yes. Or you know, Stanley. Let's just go. Let's just make it real bizarre.
Oh, sure. go the whole way with that. Yeah. You know. But anyway, it's you know, the whole thing with 98 Rock, a radio station back in the day, right after I think I got laid off from CBS. I think that may have been one of my first visits on the radio was when I went up with the highly insane Mickey Coachella.
I remember those days, yeah.
And that radio station, I've always said to myself, was the closest thing, in my opinion, to a throwback to the old WAVA days, because there was just something old school about it. Is the vibe still that way in that building? There's something about that company, the way those stations are run, that is, it's just a cool place to be. I love it. And of course, it's an old school associated with a television station.
That is very cool. Yeah.
All in one place. That's a cool place to work. And I'm really psyched that you've gotten regular filling gigs up there.
Yeah. And I mean, you would be more familiar with the inner workings of radio stations than I am, but I do feel like the vibe there is different. Because, you know, when we're on the road with Dave, we do a lot of, you know, morning radio press. So,
yep.
Yeah.
And it in a lot of those places, it does seem very corporate, and it's almost too shiny and new. It doesn't feel like radio should be that pretty looking and fancy, you know.
Yeah, it should be like an old building with it's been there for a million years on TV Hill and all that. So I enjoy my visits up there.
I love it there. And we started doing this thing with Josh Spiegel, if we're going to just stay on this trivia route.
Herr Spiegel!
Josh is the biggest Seinfeld show TV show fan of all time.
Okay.
And so they would just do this sort of random bit where they would just ask him Seinfeld trivia questions. And I was like, well, we should just do that as a live show where we have Seinfeld trivia, and then the top three people get to compete against Josh to be the made-up champion of this thing. So we did that last year. I forget exactly when, but we're doing it again this April.
You're doing 4th. That as a live show?
Live show, April 4th, McGoobie's Joke House. It's all trivia about Seinfeld, TV show Seinfeld. You can show up just like the office trivia. You do it on. You answer your questions on your phone. You can be solo. You can be as a team. You don't have to do. There's no prep beforehand. You don't have to get a team together. You just show up.
Oh, cool.
And then you answer these questions. And if you do really well, you win some prizes. If you do really well, you get to compete against Josh Spiegel to be crowned the champion of nothing.
How long has Josh Spiegel been at that radio station? He's been through everybody. He's been there since the very, very beginning. I mean, that's a
yeah.
amazing rarity in this business.
He's 92, isn't he?
He's 92 years old.
He has the attitude of a 92-year-old.
He's always had the attitude of a 92-year-old, yeah. probably.
Well, I know, right? Amelia just hit, I think she's hit over 20 years, and he's wasn't much longer after her.
Wow.
She used to be on the morning show with Mickey, Amelia, and Josh. And then, but Josh, I think he was even on like Donnie Simpson show back in the day. I mean, he's been around. Yeah.
I by the way, and if you're in Baltimore, it's 98 Rock, 98 FM. Check that out. They're really a cool
98online.com if you need to do online.
Oh,
absolutely.
Nice.
Yes. Mm-hmm. God, I forgot how time flies. There's this thing I'm on. Called the internet now.
Internet.
Very, very, very cool. This is cool. I'm so happy for your success. I think that's
thank you.
It's very, very cool. When you're talking about touring, you literally do. Now, it's not like going around to stadiums, but it's still city, 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 city. Mm-hmm. And I have always wondered to myself, as a working stand-up, there are people like, for example, Jay Leno, who always keep their hand in it. There are people that can't stay away from it, like the aforementioned Jerry Seinfeld. Mm-hmm. When you're out there and doing it, you seem to, or at least you create that presence online, that you're digging this experience of getting out there on the road, that it suits you. Am I wrong or right about that?
No, it does. It can be a grind, but when I'm like this past, you know, week and a half, I've just been home and I haven't done really much. And, you know, after working a lot, you think that sounds good. And then I do get kind of antsy and bored, and I'm realizing I'm just looking at social media too much, and I realize I'm just in a bad mood. I should be enjoying myself more. So I do like it. Last year we did, I think it was 38 weeks on the road, but 44 gigs, so it was different cities.
A couple wow. of
were two cities in 1 week. And that was a lot. And the year before, I was doing that, and then I was doing the Ravens post-game show on Sunday, so I was coming home. And that was a grind. But it's
told
also,
you, ladies and gentlemen, this man is a busy, busy bee. I mean, yes. He's out there all the time. What are the positives, the negatives about about that life and being a traveling jokester?
Well, the positive is like I made him
sound like a medieval character.
You really did. He has bells on the tip of his shoes.
I am your jester. Hello,
the traveling
King.
Jokester, yes. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not really good at that many things, so if you can make a living doing what you're good at and what you love, that's the positive. Uh-huh. I like it because I feel better about myself. I just feel like, okay, we may have taken a weird route to get here, but I guess we've done some things right to get to this point. I feel like I'm seeing parts of the country and the world when I do these military shows that it's hard to get to these places. You can't to really see every place. You gotta, be rich or make a point to do it or do a job like I have where it allows me to do that. I generally love, comedy club servers. Those are my, and bartenders. Those are just my people. They get jokes. They've seen it all. They have stories. They're just fun people to hang out with. So I like that aspect. Look, it's the traveling hotels. You start to get confused what room you're in. Where's the elevator? You're confused with last week's hotel and some of the monotony. But, I 9 out of 10 times, I love it.
Well, you just glossed over it there that you've done shows for the military. How many times have you gone overseas?
Rob, you got another thumbs up on your computer.
Oh,
you're
going
to have to figure that out.
I'm sorry.
You're really
about
eventually
that.
Going to. Glad that you took care of that problem. Put the two thumbs up again and see what we get.
Mike, I don't see it as a problem. I see it as a feature.
And then when we want to do it, it doesn't work.
It doesn't
right?
work.
That's
ever.
The way that goes.
But when you travel overseas to perform for the troops, I know that's got to be an amazingly a tough trip to make over there, but how rewarding is it when you're over there?
Well, that's rewarding. That's the most rewarding because it's you do a show, like we'll do a show at Magoobies this weekend, and people will say, hey, good time, great to see you guys or whatever. And they're excited, but it's just their weekend that they have every week.
See, I think you should have given him the veteran comedy answer. It's really not rewarding at all. I don't care for the military.
No, it's rewarding for them, not for me.
but there you go. I'd rather fly Delta.
but they're thanking you in the fact that, like, we needed this. Like, we don't have, even if it's a relatively, you know, safe base or part of the world, there's still the monotony of having to see the same people every week and not have anything to do. And it's a lot of these places, depending on where they're at, there's, you know, purposely it lacks all kind of color. So you can't be seen from the sky. Mm. So it's just sort of like you get when you're there for a while, you're like, oh, this is, I miss trees or something that just shows some life. So those shows people are actually thanking you, and it kind of gives them a taste from home. So
you know, when you're talking about what you do, you travel in my world, but I do not really travel in your world. People have I've always thought about it, though. I've always thought about the I don't consider being a radio personality opening for a local radio station opening up for a major act, which I've done with Don back in the day, to be stand-up. I've never considered what we do when we do a live show to do stand-up. The idea – stand-up to me, and I think Rob would probably agree, you know, is one dude up on stage, microphone in hand, maybe a team, but usually one guy that's up there. And I don't want to say that it terrifies me, but it, in a way, I find it totally daunting as a performer because, you know, if you haven't done it, it's a special breed and to do that. So with that flowery intro to what I'm going to ask you about here, I would like to hear about your biggest, most awkward bombs or your worst moments because really – you see clips nowadays. There are clips that are heckling clips all over the place, and some of them are horrible. Some of the most viral involve like beers being thrown at somebody and stuff like that. But I'm just curious, A, what it might be, something that really sticks out in your mind with all the gigs you've done, and B, how you intellectually, how you handle, what's your process when you're dealing with that situation?
Well, I do have one in particular that still bothers me. Thanks for bringing it up. But, I mean, this is...
the scab, he picks it. There it is. Yeah.
This was, I mean, it's probably 10 years ago now, but it was somewhere up in Baltimore, maybe north of Baltimore on some...
That's the nice part.
Yeah, that's... It gets worse. I got shot at now.
oh, no.
Yes. But I don't, for whatever reason, I told some joke about, I mentioned my girlfriend and I mentioned the interracial aspect of it. And somebody in the back booed. And so I thought, ooh, like, ooh. I looked at this table of white people and I was like, I assumed they were booing it from this racist perspective. And then they said, no, it was this table of black people. And I was like, okay, blame the black people. But it was them. So now the black people were already mad at me. Now I've upset the white people because I blame them for something that they didn't do.
Why do you think the black folks were upset with you referencing that?
I think that they didn't believe me and that I was just trying to make jokes about this. I was putting myself in this situation.
But it's hard to know that when you're on stage. You have no idea where that's coming
idea.
From.
No idea. Also, and they're far back, and I can't really see them. And so then it gets awkward, and then they're making cricket noises, like, during my set. And I lose it. Like, I legitimately, like... You know, who the F do you think you are? You're in the back. I can't even see you. You're going to F with me. You don't have the balls to do this. You're just sitting back there. I'm cursing. I mean, I lose it.
Wow.
And then I have 40 more minutes to do. Like, I haven't, so well, not get, at the end. I'm just beginning this 4-hour set. And I'm like, oh. And now, so, cell phones, huh? Crazy.
How about that?
So you get legit, and that's usually some of the real derailing moments for comedians is when you flat out lose control, there's just no way. So it catches you by surprise. You have no way to punch out of it. You're just pure mad up there, right?
And that it's rarely happened. I did a show. It was in Ocean City, and the guy that had booked it, it was this. They were like AA and NA recovering. It was some conference. And the guy that booked it is recovering alcoholic, and it made sense for him to be on the show. And the show started like really late, and the MC does fine, and then the second guy is not doing well, and he just bails. And I'm like, good, because the sooner you're done, the sooner I get up there, and the sooner that I can be done. And I've been paid in cash, and so I have this cash in my pocket. And I start doing my thing, and people start walking out. They're yelling at me, and I thought,
why are they are they angry because they're sober, or what's going on with them?
They're angry because they're smokers and they're inside, and the show started late, and they came from out of town. It's the Friday. It's the travel day to the seminar. They're in a bad mood. They thought they were going to see somebody famous. They don't know who I am, and so I do this whole speech. I'm like, hey. Look, we're here. Let's have a good time. I feel like in the movies, this is where I get them. Right. I do this whole speech. One person claps. Half of the people just walk out. It does nothing. It couldn't have changed anything any less. And they're like, all right, we're just going to plow through. We're just going to tell these jokes. And then hopefully when I walk to the car with the $600 in cash in my pocket, that I'll be just fine.
So. Nobody's going to roll you.
Exactly, yes.
Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, I want to ask you while you're talking about it, as we like to refer, the serious business of comedy. I guess every comic has their go-to set that they go up and they know they're going to do this, and they do their chunks. But you seem to put yourself in situations where you rely on crowd work. The office trivia involves audience interaction.
I liked it when he opened for us with our live show. That's one of the things I really liked about what you do. I like the crowd. I love crowd work anyway. It's my favorite kind of comedy.
I do too. But do you prefer the crowd work, or do you prefer your setups and you know the stuff that you've got ready to go, or how do you balance it? And also, if an audience is, obviously you can feel it when you come out. If an audience is way into it, are you more likely to do crowd work?
I love the crowd work. I love those are the moments that you can't, that are organic, that happen, that you can't. If I've laughed at myself really during the set, it's probably from some crowd work moment, not just me delivering my joke really well or something.
Yeah.
So there are just moments that come from that I think are the highlights of the show. And I don't force it, but I kind of jokes that I ideally weave in and out between, you know, material playing.
Yeah, I've
material,
watched you.
Crowd
work. That's what you do with that. I mean, it's cool.
And then if I can call back to the crowd work, because you know at that point the callback doesn't have to make any sense. It could just be the fact that you remembered. You know, well we know Dave loves turkey in October. You know, it doesn't make any sense. But because it came out 20 minutes ago, you said something about it.
Yeah,
and then suddenly that's a pop on a. You know, if you just walked in and heard that, you're like, what is this guy talking about?
But you know, technically, Rob, we're fanboying on Rob Mayer.
A little bit. Yeah.
I like it.
I mean, I've known Rob as a friend before I knew him as a performer. But I root for you because I look around and I see the trajectory that you're on, and I'm proud of you for what you've done and getting around, and I'm asking you legitimate questions. I'm always curious, and having known you before the whole stand-up thing took off, I think in terms of, you know, what does it feel like to do this, what does it feel like to that, is there a particular locale, because you do big and small cities everywhere you go, you guys go, have dollars will travel, is there a particular place where it's either the office trivia show or the stand-up with David Koechner and you guys, is there ground zero for you guys? Like, you know you're going to your best city, no matter how big or small. Is there one place where this is our place?
There are some good places. And a lot of what I look at, because people ask me my favorite cities, and I'm always looking at, well, Is the hotel, is it close to things? Is it close to the
that's
venue?
You.
Can I walk?
That's you all the way. Yeah. That's you. So, I'm thinking more
well,
in terms
think,
of where
I
you're right.
I think that's also
yeah.
for having yeah. done it so long. With right. the novelty but, gone, you just want it to work.
Now, that's the man. I know the man well enough to know, you know the convenience
I
of it, right?
No, I love the convenience. But I also we've done had really good shows in Portland, Oregon, and Helium. Helium's a chain. Mm-hmm. We're coming back to San Diego here March, American Comedy Company. It's not very big. It's like 200, but they're packed in. And I love that. I like a bigger venue because make more money on the Robert Struve show. But from just the vibe in the room, you know, 200 packed in there nice is great. And
I
that,
love doing the show at the Improv. It was so much fun.
DC Improv is primo. And the San Diego gig is cool because Champ Kind is, you know, that's San Diego. That's mm-hmm. where the anchor
Oh, that's
is.
Right. Yeah.
So you get that whole, there's a more Anchorman
Go
love
F yourself,
there.
San Diego.
Yes.
There you go.
Stay classy, Rob Mayer.
Right. But Columbus, Ohio has the Funny Bone. We love that venue. I mean, there's a lot of good rooms. Some of these newer Milwaukee Improv, they're almost like too pretty and gorgeous, but they pack them in there. They look like they're like, you know, basketball stadiums or something. Yeah,
it's
really
like
nice.
What you were saying about radio. It needs to be a little dingy. It needs to be
like a little dingy. And this Bark Entertainment, they have these cool gigs in these kind of middle of nowhere places and, you know, Wisconsin and things. And Spokane and Tacoma, Washington, we've had good luck there. We've had good times there and up in the Northwest.
Oh. Well, I had a meet and greet in Spokane.
Yeah.
There's video of it, and I'm not really proud of that behavior. That was
really
a moment for me, Rob. Is I know that you've had a bigger moment as far as your health and all that, but that was a moment where perhaps Mrs. O'Mara sat me down and said, do you remember anything? I wasn't bad to anybody, but I looked at a picture of me after an afternoon of meeting, greeting, and drinking, and I looked and I saw the face of my father when he would have one too many.
Yeah.
And it gave me chills. I'd never seen myself look like that. And I was just petrified because it was like that kind of could go either way. And that meanness was there under the surface. Didn't care for that at all.
Didn't that ruined it? You were supposed to, I think, but the drinking ruined it. Host the office trivia out there. Weren't you, Mike? You're going to do a trivia
contest. Yeah, I was going to be with David Kettner and I lost the gig to Rob Mayer because we've covered everything. Give him one more plug because I don't want to forget because now we're going to get into one last subject with Rob.
Okay,
you've been on the Rob and Joe show or the DLP podcast, but I want to cover it as well.
All right, you can see Rob Mayer and David Koechner doing stand up and the Office Trivia Show with Todd Packer this Thursday to Saturday at Magoobie's Joke House, and you can get those tickets at magoobiesjokehouse.com. And Mike, looking ahead, Rob will be at the Arlington Cinema Draft House October 24th through the 26th. And there's 20 gigs in between.
Yeah, we've got Chicago. We got San Diego. We've got Raleigh, North Carolina. We got the Connecticut thing. We got Rochester. If you go to followrob.com, it takes you to my link tree, takes you links to all the socials.
Fantastic.
Life on the road. Obviously, when I first met you, you were seriously involved. We used to cover a little bit of your life on this show, and you and Rob would stop by and visit as far as the love life and all that. So, what the hell is going on? Are you just a nomadic swinging comedian that's out on the road grabbing tail? Is that what it is? What's going on with you?
I've had I'm not a closer, Mike.
You had a great relationship.
Yeah. No, no.
What happened?
Great relationship. No, it's just, I don't know what happened. I think if we're being honest, I felt like we got into like a rut and it felt like we were roommates and probably needed some time apart to recalibrate things. And maybe we'll see what happens going forward.
Oh,
but I realized
that
a lot of my act when I was in a relationship was about being in a relationship, which doesn't really lend yourself to women saying, oh, that guy, my jokes are about being bad in bed and having a girlfriend. Well, hey, that's the guy I want to be with, right? And so, and now my jokes are about being bad in bed and missing my girlfriend. So these aren't like, and I, And I've never tried to write jokes to get women. I just thought, you know, you'd be funny. That would work. But I guess when I think about it, like, I'm not really selling myself as a date, because they're like, oh, he's
well,
funny.
Well, if you do like, that, I've seen, you know, we've both seen comedians that do that, and it is so gross to me.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
When that, and there's a, I mean, you could actually fill books up with comedians that have gone up there and tried to pretend they're trying to be funny when in fact they're just trying to be, you know, appealing to the opposite sex. And nothing turns me off more, and probably a lot of women off too, when a comedian's doing that. Some of them are better at that than others. But
Mike, that's why I stopped watching John Panette.
There you go. That's the late John.
Good reference.
Yeah, very good. But so you leave the door open a little bit, and you know, well, what do you think? Maybe get back together, something like that. I like your lady. I like her.
No, she's awesome, and the door's open a little bit. We'll put it that way. Yes.
Good.
He doesn't want to talk about it. That's right.
He does not.
Yeah, that's good. All right. So we appreciate you coming on the show. I wish you continued success. And
thank you guys.
The interesting thing is you just look strangely familiar to me. I don't know why, but,
I haven't been on this show. I haven't been on this show in years, so I don't know
years.
Why.
It's been decades. It has. We have to take a break. Rob Mayer.
Love you guys. Appreciate
it. Rob, thank you so much,
brother. And continued success to you and David Koechner. We have to take a short break. When we come back, ladies and gentlemen, we have the round table and more fun and more thirds. I also have to tell you later in the show who made me cry. I actually cried last night and again this morning, and it didn't move Carla at all. We'll be right back.
Heart of stone.
Hey, here's a great habit to get into, courtesy of Liquid IV. Can I just say my peach? And I'm not talking about Oscar referring to Shannon.
No.
Say happy birthday to.
We'll happy birthday, too. Shannon.
Happy birthday, Shannon. Is she floating around the hallways, Mac? Is she up there? She is?
She is here.
Yeah. Oh, if you get an opportunity, would it be possible to bring her in? Is it possible to
I
say
will ask.
Happy birthday? Hey, so this stuff, the peach liquid IV, my absolute favorite. Hydration. Rob was telling me how important hydration is. It's great. It's great to be out on the surface of the sun and have something that tastes great. Let's fix you with Hydration Monday by doing the Liquid IV thing. Liquid IV hydrates 2 times faster than water alone, all in a single delicious stick. No sugar, no artificial sweeteners. Liquid IV has 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drinks, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness. So good, so easy. I can't believe how much I love that flavor. I know I say lemon lime all the time, my favorite, but it's really the peach that I love.
Peach is great.
I really love it. Add it to your water bottle, shake it up, and go. Try the white peach like me, or green grape, or my favorite also, lemon lime. I love them all, and you will too. Weekends are for going wild, so have a game plan for Monday with Liquid IV. Grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco, or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use TMOS at checkout, ladies and gentlemen.
There it is. Look. There it is. The Kraken is thinking about getting together with his old girlfriend.
Very, very excited to get a straight answer. That hasn't changed. That
hasn't changed
in
you're
15 years.
You're right.
Drea De Mateo says that she lost everything because she refused to get the COVID vaccine.
I don't know about that.
I know nothing about that.
At one point, she had $10 in the bank and was on the verge of losing her home. Then OnlyFans came to the rescue. I think that I remember like reporting that when she first went on OnlyFans.
Yeah, and she was the Christopher's girlfriend on The Sopranos and loved it.
She said, quote, first of all, there's no detail here on why she chose the COVID thing, but I would assume during the teeth of the pandemic, probably tough to get work if you're refusing to do anything like wear a mask or any of that.
Yeah,
I don't know what her reasons are for that, but she says OnlyFans saved my life 100%. I can't believe that I'm saying that, but it really did save us. Just 5 minutes after she posted her first risque photos, Drea had dug herself out of her financial hole. You've heard about this. We've talked about it on the show. that you actually can, you know, make serious bank, especially if you're a known commodity on the Magic Box. And she's not sorry. Well, I don't believe she needs to be sorry about that. You know, don't judge. Well,
the sad thing is, Mike, is since she didn't get the vaccine, most of her OnlyFans video are just her coughing.
Yes, hacking up a lung.
That's right.
Here's her quote. Anybody that wants to condemn me, I don't. And a little sensitive, Drea, and put me down, go for it. I just hope you never find yourself in the position I was in to take care of two little kids. Look, OnlyFans part of the equation. I don't judge anybody. Carla refuses to do it. I tell her every day, please, go on OnlyFans.
Just the feet,
get her
honey.
Done. Does it now? You don't. This is where I wish we had Oscar here, because I would ask him. He knows more about it than you do. But correct me if I'm wrong. You don't. It's not necessarily going on and showing everything.
It's all different
lingerie,
things.
Bikinis, that type of thing.
I saw a story this week about a lady who made a mint, and her deal is that she's the sexy MILF next door, and she doesn't do anything really harder than like a PG-13. And she still has a lot of followers. So I don't know.
You know my German lady that makes the food, the Essen lady that goes,
yeah.
Lata. Or whatever
Lata,
the hell she says.
Yeah.
I'd like to see her do. All right, I better stop. But anyway, it's.
Come back to the show. We need you.
I was watching. She made a chicken recipe last night that I was watching with Worcestershire sauce and heavy cream and onions and breasts of chicken, and it was yummy. And then she gives her signature. I think she knows that people like that.
Yeah. Where do you weigh in on Worcestershire sauce?
Well, when you talk about one of my signature dishes that I've made for you before, Louisiana barbecue shrimp.
Yes.
Have you ever had my Louisiana barbecue shrimp? I thought I made it for you.
Yeah.
And it's a secret ingredient, a flavor booster. Don't think of it as just a side to steak. It's something that really spices things up. And when I heard that Worcestershire sauce, and that's the correct pronunciation, incidentally, can go into shrimp, I'm like, what the hell is this? And then I tasted it, and it was spectacular. So the answer is I did.
I love it. And here's something that you will give me grief about, but a few dashes elevates your egg salad.
Really? That doesn't surprise me at all. That doesn't surprise me. But getting back to Drea Mateo, it's
please.
I'm glad she's saying this. Don't judge me. And look, everybody in the business of show, and if you're in a hole, judge not lest ye be judged. I believe
I love that also it is sort of a mea culpa for not getting the vaccination. She realized that it was probably a mistake back then. She mentions that.
Does she say that she?
She said
not
she,
to get the vaccination.
Well, she blames
anything
it
like that.
Blames it certainly. So maybe it is. I don't know. Maybe I'm reading into it.
No, I think you're not catching the fact that she's probably remorseless. You know, I mean, think that. I mean that I don't judge people for getting out of a financial hole by going on OnlyFans, but I might throw a little judgment your way if you're refuting scientific evidence.
Well, it's probably because Pauly Walnuts was a major anti-vaxxer.
I don't know, T. I don't want to go in an airplane wearing that mask. I don't want to do that, T. That's the way it goes, T.
Speaking of the same subject, Drew Barrymore's Playboy spread came back to haunt her when one of her daughters recently brought it up. In a conversation with Christina Aguilera, she said, quote, my daughter wants to wear a crop top. I say no, and she'll go, you are on the cover of Playboy. Well, there it is, right? Yeah, there is a future there. Christina defended Drew's cover and said she was just expressing and empowering herself at the time. Drew agreed and said that she loved every minute of it. Well, then it's hard to, put the brakes on your daughter when she just wants to wear a crop top in that case.
Have you ever watched the Drew Barrymore show?
Never had the pleasure.
I've watched clips, and it always has the feeling of me that she's doing it from her basement. It's a little Wayne's Worldy.
Oh, really?
It's just, she brings in stars and talk. You know what she did last week?
Isn't she a little too exuberant? Isn't that
very much so? She did a lengthy monologue to the cast of The Facts of Life. She had them in now and talked about how important they were to her in the day.
I'm really surprised I've missed this show. I'm really, really surprised.
But Mike, Kim Fields wasn't there. You had to do without Tootie.
Tootie. So, I mean, is it cringeworthy most of the time?
Sometimes it is. When she really, really lays it on, and she'll do something like, oh, yes, oh, yes, yes, yeah. yes. You know, yeah, and I don't need that. Be a host.
Be a host and go for it. I agree with you. There aren't many kids' shows more popular than Peppa Pig. Was that something that your daughter watched back
no,
in the day?
No, Peppa Pig is it's after my son and my daughter.
Well, not everyone thinks Peppa Pig is good. Peppa is kind of a brat, and some of her young fans are following her example. I'm not a connoisseur of Peppa Pig. I don't believe it was part of Michael's thing, but he
knows
of it. I've
looked in on it, and I think it's funny that Peppa will talk like a little kid, but then they're in the middle of it, they'll just put a snort.
One parent now catches her son saying, ew, yuck, when presented with food he doesn't want. He'll also say, you're not my friend anymore, when he gets mad. And yeah. I guess this is Peppa Pigisms. And one time he told his friend that he had, quote, a big tummy. Oh, God. Can we get any more sensitive, right?
I know.
Isn't
I know.
That what effing parenting is about, to maybe guide them? That's not. Use it as a learning tool, right? You don't behave
you can do that,
like
yeah.
that. One parent.
Rob
coach,
Mayer should learn, because these are the things he said to his girlfriend.
Yes,
and she
that's
did
why
not,
they're not
like
together
it.
Anymore. One parenting coach put it this way: parenting coach. That's all you need to know, right?
Good job.
There you go. It's like a dog psychologist. Peppa is rude and impatient, and the show teaches kids that this is who she is, and that it's okay. The job of the parent is to say it's not okay. Peppa might think
exactly.
it's okay, but the message of the show is not that it's okay. The message of the show is that it's just like Archie Bunker when we were watching that. It's not okay to be a bigot, but you can laugh at the bigot, right? Come
yeah.
on, we're too sensitive.
Yeah.
Another critic of the show says, quote, Peppa acts the way any child might act, but she isn't taught that it's unkind. Well, that's why you, as a
you got
parent,
to. Yeah.
come on mm-hmm. now. I don't know why I'm using Tony Soprano's voice right now. As a parent, you teach your kid that Peppa Pig is not the way to behave, okay?
Hey,
that's
Tony.
Right, T. Andrea's not wearing a mask. There we are, T. So,
hey, Tony, do you watch Peppa Pig, Tony?
So we're going to take Silvio's going to drag her out into the woods and blow her brains out. Some
Pine
parents,
yeah.
So this parenting coach goes on to say, some parents may see it as too direct or rude. We see it as self-assertive and self-confident. The parenting coach and the executives that manufacture it can all pound sand,
yeah.
in my opinion. It's both. It's a gray area. Listen to this BS corporate answer. Parents may see it as too direct or rude. We see it as self-assertive and self-confident. No. Rude is as rude does, as
yeah,
Forrest
and
would say.
And Mike, it's a British cartoon, and remember what happened with the British.
So does Peppa
wasn't
have a
that
British
long ago.
Accent?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Hello, you got a big tummy. Hello, like Ricky Gervais.
Yeah.
I'm down with
uh-huh.
Peppa. Look, the bottom line is that's what it's about. If you are too influenced by something you are seeing or reading, that's why you have mentors. That's why you have parents. That's why you have people that assist you in these things. And we mm-hmm. don't just sit there and go, meow, meow, meow with that. And that, once again, is the reason Rob is no longer with his girlfriend. We're talking about Mayer, not Spiewak. Rob's still married.
Well, both true.
Yeah. No. Is this just a money grab, or do you think it's actually okay advice? I'm not sure, but here it is. The CEO.
Okay.
of Kellogg's is catching heat for saying you could save lots of money by feeding your kids cereal for dinner. I will tell you, it was done after football practice in the O'Mara household.
I've done it.
Last evening. My son, yep. we do not, you might be surprised, we do not keep a lot of foodstuffs on hand like we used to.
Right.
I think it was okay. People have been tearing into him on social media after he said it on CNBC last week. He said, if you think about cereal for a family versus what they might otherwise do, it's going to be much more affordable. Well, yeah. And it's, you know, not like you're eating it every night. I mean, have you served cereal for
I have. Yeah. Well, I mean, but yeah. I mean, it seems more like they just go get it. I mean, I don't remember like saying, here's what you're having for dinner tonight.
Last
I remember
night,
them going
we came back from Pop Warner practice, which is just amazing exercise. If it's anything, it's a bunch of wind sprints and running laps and exercise and running around. Great for my kid. I love watching him do it. And he hustles. He's doing a great job. But, you know, it was quick. We get home. It's about 8:30, close to bedtime. He's got a big day the next day. The cereal is fine. You know,
yeah.
I also, when I picked him up from school at 4:30, because he is late playing another football thing, flag football after school, got him a little Chick-fil-A sandwich. So
well,
if you consider,
fine.
Plenty of health, Kellogg's Raisin Bran and a Mike, Chick-fil-A sandwich.
This previous story brought to you by Kellogg's.
The Monkees, brought to you by Kellogg's. K-E-L-L-O-Good.
And if you're worried about Michael not getting enough protein in his cereal, do what I do. Cut up a hot dog in it.
Hot dog goes in the Raisin Bran.
Yeah,
you'll have the most lovely BM if you do that. Kellogg's is already pushing the idea in ads. There's a recent one where Tony the Tiger gets a family of four to chant, cereal dinner, cereal dinner.
God. Oh, no.
I just got a great idea, you know.
What's
what
that?
If you tied cereal dinner to serial killer? That would be special, wouldn't
it?
Get Madison Avenue on the line. We're going to do that.
Captain Crunch with a machete.
Finally tonight, a 33-year-old man in Florida named Robert Whitaker has been sentenced to 7 years in prison for a nasty habit that got even nastier in a police car. If you're having your cereal for breakfast right now or eating anything,
your hot dog,
you might want to move away from your device. Robert was arrested last year, and the in-car dash cam caught him reaching around to his backside and messing around with something. Here's the story. He had hidden bags of fentanyl inside, well, they put it here, so I'm reading it, his rectum. And
I'm over
reaching,
here now.
He was reaching back there to get them out and then stuff them into the cushion of the cruiser where the seatbelt goes in.
Yeah. I hope they scotch guarded.
So gross. He jammed 32 grams in there. Fentanyl is the stuff that can, like a tiny little bit can kill
you. A speck will kill you, yes.
God almighty. Florida, Florida. He was caught because he didn't. This gets grosser. I didn't.
Oh, how can it?
He didn't get it all. at the jail, they did a full cavity search and a, quote, chunk of purple powder fell out of his anus. I guess it's wrapped, right? Because if it was the powder itself,
it would have to be because it would you'd absorb and you'd die.
So the story goes on to say that the cop car was so messed up from the fentanyl that it needed to be taken out of commission for 3 months. No.
What?
No.
No,
come
no,
on.
No, no,
3 months to be professionally clean. And the car is still hot. There you go, down in Florida. We have to take a break. When we come back, when your significant other is a workaholic.
Okay.
Nothing you share with her, no matter how sensitive, seems to matter when she's in the throes of slaying the dragon. I am both grateful and I am sad. I'll tell you that.
Sad.
Sad boy.
Sad.
Ding, 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 ding. Come on. Come on. Scroll, scroll, scroll. There it is.
Yay.
This podcast proudly sponsored by Naked Wines, the subscription service that links you directly to the world's best independent winemakers. Enjoy a case of top quality wines at a fraction of the store price, up to 60% off. I love when the listeners are sharing with me that they have enjoyed their case of Naked Wines. It's fantastic. You can answer a few questions online when you order, and they will instantly match you with a perfect pour for your taste. And I can tell you, I've had it. The cabs I got were extraordinary. I took the quiz, and they got me wine that I love. In the off chance that you don't like a bottle, they'll give you a credit so you can find one you love. Naked Wine sure is fine. So
sure is.
Head to nakedwines.com/TMOS and click enter voucher in the top right when you get to the website. Then all you have to do is enter TMOS for both the code and password, and you will get 6 bottles of wine for just $39.99 with shipping included. And we say cheers. I love Naked Wine, and They are Naked Wines, I should say, and the independent vintners are Fabuloso. All right.
You know, my mom, real quick, her best friend is sort of a wine snob. Mm-hmm. And I gave some Naked Wine to my mom because I didn't have much use for it. And when they drank it, my aunt, who was my mom's best friend, called me and said, "This deal can't be right. It's saying here this price for this wine." I said,
"Yeah,
that's right." And she was blown away. So you got
to
try.
Yeah, we're very, very happy to partner up with them. It's really, really terrific stuff. Mm-hmm. I want to share with you, as you probably are aware from my discussions and from the online presence, Mrs. O'Mara is a very, very busy, busy person.
Busy.
And she does a lot of her social media work whilst she sits next to me in her spot as I sit next to her in my spot,
yes,
where the TV is in front of us. And really, sometimes we will take in a television series, but most of the time it really is me on my computer. She's in her phone. And right. Sometimes on her laptop as well. And
you're in a recliner, and she's like on the edge, yes, of the sofa near you. Okay,
yes,
so you're near each other.
Layout,
but,
you know,
but
how
not
it is
touching
in the O'Mara house. I have to say that first of all, I am grateful that I have a wife that has the initiative to go out and provide for the family. In many cases, better than her own husband does. But I will say, I have provided in the past. I have been there for,
yes,
the familia.
Yes, I remember.
And I am still, making this thing work each and every day. I'm,
yes,
very excited about that. But Carla has taken off in a lot of different areas. She has an online presence with her skin products that she sells. She is involved in the weight loss medications, which you've heard about, and I'm,
sure,
involved in that too, where I give testimonials about that. And she is doing a lot of managing and marketing for the Mike O'Mara Show now. So she is a very, very busy young lady,
mm-hmm,
much younger than me. But sometimes,
well, you don't want to be a young lady.
No, I will say this, Rob. Sometimes I feel just, we don't need sad music here, but I tend to be a little lonely. And I, at this point, there's a video that clip from The Daily Show, which is now hosted by Jon Stewart on Mondays.
Right.
And Jon Stewart does what I considered to be a very touching piece on losing his rescue dog, a three-legged pit bull that he got. And it was absolutely, for any dog owner whatsoever, if you haven't seen this, Rob, I urge you to check it out.
Yeah.
It is absolutely touching. And I'm an old softy, and,
yeah,
I'm an old sentimentalist, and somebody legitimately waxing romantic about his doggy is special to me. And,
yeah,
he gets really verklempt and he loses it, and it's beautiful. And then he shows a clip of the dog at the very end, the moment of zen that he used to do on The Daily Show, still does. And I said, Carla, first, this is the way the conversation goes. I go, you know, you're the dog lover, you need to see this. And I hear from her spot,
oh no.
No other response other than that, where it's just like,
and, you have become yet another task.
And I said, honey, this is something I think you'll get a kick out of. So I start to play it, and immediately it is not landing on her like it landed with me. And, when one is, don't we all with significant others sometimes want to just share, just provide them with something,
yes,
that they can see?
And, yes, something to bond over.
Now, I've done it myself too. I have done it where Carla will say, look at my patient. She calls them patients sometimes, even though,
okay,
it's a doctor's patient. Look at this person. Look what they did. Look what they posted this. And I'm like, and I give maybe under my breath a little.
Yeah.
But this was the moment there where I said, you know, I'm just trying to share. I'm just trying to say.
You got to sometimes, pretend to be interested,
yeah,
and try to follow the story. And at the end, you say, that's terrific. Good for, yeah, you. I'm glad
I'm
that
grateful,
happened.
I'm grateful for everything she does. But,
yes,
I would just like to say, it's Carla, in the words of a former intern of the Don and Mike Show, Cannon Grace, as he said this to pitcher Mike Messina as he was not acknowledging fans in the dugout. Hey, Mike Messina, it's nice to be important, but it's more important to be nice.
Yeah, I think that holds true more now than it did 20 years ago when he said it.
Now, this is the busy season for her brick-and-mortar store. This is where she goes in there, and she has, you know, after she's been doing this now for 3 years, and she has a lot of repeat business, and I am grateful. And I am grateful that she is taking off in all these different areas, and I'm grateful we've got some news coming up about our store that's going to be very exciting in the next couple of weeks that you're going to love. And I'm grateful, grateful, grateful. But sometimes when it comes to wanting to share, when my time is over. And by the way, I should say that I was in the midst of prepping this broadcast and doing my work as well. And I still squeezed in the time to do my little testimonial for my weight loss. So, Carla, you know, there are two people rowing this boat.
So, Mike, doesn't that make it our time?
No, yes. It is.
Well, we've discussed this in the past. Mm-hmm. We're broken. Most people in the business are broken, and we crave approval to a fault.
She's
not giving you that.
And well, yeah, okay. I was looking for approval when I shared this.
Yeah.
You know, it really it is special, and you know, sometimes you just don't get that. So I'm kind of torn. But
would you settle for my standard? What I get is
Yeah.
But there's no sigh when I bring something. Mm-hmm. But then it's just usually
Well, could be worse. We could be in a lonely motel room on the road like Rob Mayer. That's the way it could go. So who knows?
Hi, David. Are you still up?
David, oh God. We didn't get to that line of questioning, unfortunately. We have to take a break. When we come back, I've been holding on to this for a while. This is stuff that's frustrating because we think it should be fixed by now. That's correct.
Okay.
A Charlie and Harrigan moment coming up. Has no one fixed that? We won't be giving you a lot of solutions, but Lord knows we can bitch, ladies and gentlemen. That's coming up right here on the Mike O'Mara Show. And I want to tell you right now about 4 Wellness. By the way, that's another thing that my wife and I share. She enjoys it as well. You can fuel your peak performance with 4 Wellness. It's the ultimate functional food brand. 4 Wellness, founded by Phil Mickelson and renowned performance coach Dave Phillips. It's a game-changing performance coffee supplement. You can elevate your brew with just one scoop for enhanced focus, reduced caffeine jitters, increased collagen, and fat-burning support. That's right. Dave Phillips, also known as Captain Phillips.
He's the nutritionist now.
No, but that's not all. Dive into their recovery gummies packed with antioxidants. There they are. Rob's showing them right now.
I'm going to eat one, Mike. I'm going to eat one right now.
And they've got electrolytes. Perfect
for
pre-workout or post-golf recovery. Need a sweet treat? They have superfood focus bites that taste like a chocolate brownie.
Delicious.
Unleash your full potential or unleash 4 Wellness. Your body and mind deserve the best. If you drink coffee, it's time to give 4 Wellness a try, ladies and gentlemen. Head to 4wellness.com/TMOS and use the code TMOS for 25% off your order. Make sure you use our promo code TMOS so they know that we sent you. Now, before we start that, I want to get my ordinance lined up because I'm going to do something I really do. There is the potential that I will blow up my own segment.
Okay, well, Mike, I do have a setup piece of production because I knew this was coming, so here we go.
Music loving Charlie and Harrigan.
Hey,
on WKYC.
I'm Charlie Brown.
I'm Herb Harrigan.
Herb Harrigan. Let me see if my boom is working. Perfect.
Oh, that's a good one.
People on social media are talking about the minor but frustrating everyday struggles that they still encounter. Which should be solved by now. Rob, what I need from you during
this
segment.
Has no one fought that?
Because I already know.
Yes.
It sounds very old man-ish.
Yes.
I am simply saying something that I found this online, and I'm sharing it with you.
Okay.
As things that I do agree with should perhaps have been modernized, updated.
Right.
I'll give you one that's not on the list.
Okay.
The cutting of the cables, the charging cords. I think we should be well along to that being that things should charge faster, wirelessly, and it shouldn't be a battle in your home as to who has the charging cable, where it is. And there's a lot of wireless charge, but I don't think it's significant enough, fast enough, or works well enough. All right.
That's
my very own.
Yeah.
You're giving me a ding. Thank you. Number one.
Yes.
These are the ones from this article. The staticky, repetitive, tuneless music you are forced to listen to when you're on hold. It hasn't been improved since the 1980s.
I disagree with that. There was a time when we were trying to figure out something complicated in the studios at Podville Media, and I spent about 3 days on hold with the Mackey Corporation. And I got to really enjoy their hold music. And it went sort of like,
so you say that's not a valid.
Yeah, I don't think that's valid.
That's yours. Number two, this one is not relatable for me because I really don't have any idea one way or the other.
All right.
The pockets on plus size women's clothing never seem to be a design consideration.
Amen, sister.
You either get tiny pockets, which haven't been scaled at all, or enormous pockets that have been fully scaled where you can put stuff in.
Like Twinkies.
Sandwiches.
As a supporter of all genders and sexes, I say that that is true. Let's get on that.
I don't know about that. someone also pointed out how women's jeans should just have a waist and inseam size. Like men's jeans. What do they have? What do they have, like a number?
Yeah, it's a number.
All right. Number three, shopping carts with wheels that easily break. All right. We've all been, like the Mart of Wall has too many times where I've been in there. I agree with that one. It's a cart. Even though they're out in the elements, they should be durable enough that they can fulfill their purpose.
Furthermore, what they should do is spot the people that have broken carts and put those carts out of commission so they don't keep getting used.
The Target people have your plastic cart, but I think still there are too many metal carts that get worn out easily. Does that get a ding? I think that's okay.
That gets this.
Charlie and Harrigan.
I'm Charlie Brown. Has nobody fought that shopping cart issue? Am I the only one? Number four, TV remotes and appliances with text printed on the buttons where it can wear off with use over time.
I agree with that. It should be printed on the remote. And also, if you're as blind as I am, you have to memorize your remote.
Well, and also if you're on a audiovisual device, the back of a television, the back of an amplifier, of a cable box with black raised lettering that doesn't necessarily have painted print on it, that's even worse because
you can't
see HDMI when it's black and you're in the back of the TV where there's no light source unless you bring your iPhone in there, and then it's still and then it's still hard to see.
I agree, Irv.
Charlie Brown, Irv Harrigan. Number five. We've got five more.
I'm excited.
This will come up in a couple of weeks. Having to change the clock in your car when it's daylight savings time or daylight saving time.
I hate changing clocks. I don't mind the notion of daylight saving time.
You don't need to do it when you're on your iPhone does it automatically.
No,
does it automatically.
My car does too now because it's got the link up. But it seems that car clocks always were the hardest to change.
That does not. I don't know how high that ranks, but I can see people being upset. So, what do you give that—a dinger or a buzz?
I'm gonna give it a buzzer.
Number six: the plastic fasteners that hold new socks together. I just got my.
I know.
I got my No-See-Em Adidas socks for golf. I agree.
Yes.
No, they're not difficult to remove.
I tell you what I don't like about them, though. They should be improved because what happens is they're like a double-sided plastic tee.
Oh, it says they can be difficult to remove without damaging the socks. True.
True. And then if
you
drop them.
A lot of times you rip it out and you get this. All right, that's good.
If you drop them, they're in the carpet. Who wants that?
Thanks so much. Number seven, and here we go. This is the one that I give the big thumbs up to. This is probably why I brought this in today, Irv. Autocorrect.
Yes.
F-U-autocorrect. I don't
Charlie
need you.
Harrigan.
You don't. I don't play. I don't press tab on my computer to finish the sentence. I write the entire sentence. I don't like things to be a word to be changed when I'm writing it the way I want to.
I know.
Someone said if I typed it, it's what I meant to type. Go ahead and highlight it or give me some suggestions. But to automatically assume that I did it wrong and change it on me is like having my mother-in-law living inside my cell phone. I am down with that.
I totally agree.
Enthusiastic thing on that one, right?
And yes, absolutely, Charlie. When I'm in my phone, I want to tell my phone, I have never ever called anyone a ducking idiot ever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So quit changing it.
Number eight, having to use a keyboard on a TV screen to enter your email address and a password by using arrows and selecting each letter individually.
Hate that.
Number seven and number eight are the best ones on the list as far as I'm concerned.
Because it really is. It's almost impossible. And if you have a long password, a long email address. However, I will say a few streaming services are putting QR codes on the screen. Mm-hmm. So you just have to scan them on your phone and you can activate, which makes a big difference. But boy, I hate doing the arrows and punch them.
I can't tell you when you're doing that how long it takes to write Irish Mushroom 1959 into the password.
Now, is that your name or your password?
It's my OnlyFans password.
Hi, Irish Drea,
Mushroom,
it's me.
1959. Drea, keep them coming. Keep the leather pictures coming. Anyway, number nine. Someone said, why can't all power cords on everything that needs to be plugged in, from toasters to lamps to coffee makers to fans, all be retractable? I'm not sure I know about that. I mean, I don't know about that. Is that like a vacuum where it retracts?
And also, I mean, in days of old, they want your cords on a counter to be short so you don't knock things over. But it used to be that the toaster
I knock things over because of my shaking hand.
I know.
In my kitchen. I don't know about that.
Mike, I don't know anything about that either. But right. At the bottom of a toaster, normally you can like short, or a lamp, you can shorten the cord by wrapping it around and tucking it in. Mm-hmm. But I agree, although the retractable action is going to add to the size of the appliance.
So number 10,
give that a buzzer.
A buzzer for that one. Thank you. I can't relate to that one at all. And number 10, if you're in your car right now, and this happens to me all the time, you can relate to this, car horns in radio commercials or sirens. Please stop doing it. It's not appropriate.
Charlie and Harrigan.
What's that?
Didn't it used to be illegal to put a siren?
And a lot of that's the worst one of all. Yeah. So I'm on a TV commercial, a radio commercial comes out, and I hear a siren. I pulled over.
In your K car?
The last part of this is a lot of packaging could also be improved. I kind of agree with this.
Yes.
Bacon packaging, when you're cooking your fatty bacon, that can be resealable without needing another bag. Or cereal packaging with a zip top. And you could also package hard taco shells in a way where you don't break the shells trying to get them out.
Don't be stupid. Buy some food storage bags.
Winthrop Pudelmeier will be coming in next on the Charlie and Harrigan get-together. Has no one fought that?
Has nobody fought that at all?
I'm so sorry.
The HOV?
I could never get that moment back. Yes, sir. You're listening to the Joe Rogan Experience, ladies and gentlemen. Right here. You want to know why I'm in my garage? You just heard it. We'll be right back, everybody.
It's a beautiful garage.
Yeah. That's me. That's me, people. All right, hold on. I lost the thing. Because that's another thing that I do that's very, very professional. Let me get to the commercial.
You need a retractable mouse.
They are 12 miles apart today. Rob, can you fix that?
Mike, I shortened the copy. That's why they're closer. They're farther apart.
Well, put them together. Did you know that 80% of men will experience hair thinning in their lifetime? Get ahead of it with Nutrafol, a clinically tested hair growth supplement for men. You don't have to choose between hair growth and your health. Nutrafol's drug-free whole-body approach promotes hair growth from within. Take their hair wellness quiz at Nutrafol.com/men for a personalized hair health plan based on your specific root causes. You can purchase it online with no prescriptions or doctor's visits required. You'll see results in 3 to 6 months thanks to Nutrafol. Oscar is seeing thicker hair,
yes,
and he has a sickness for the thickness.
He does. And you know what? He's benefiting like crazy.
Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with less shedding. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com/men and enter the promo code TMOS. That's Nutrafol.com/men. Promo code TMOS.
Hello.
The flip side. Mike, we have an update on the space lander, the moon lander Odysseus.
On its side, right?
Yeah, remember it fell over. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that it had a musical time capsule in it. It to preserve some great pop music of the last 100 years. They set up some Elvis music, some Bob Marley music, and also some Jimi Hendrix music. So let's go to Odysseus.
Well, since my baby left, all right, we're jamming.
Excuse me while I kiss the sky.
I want to jam it with you.
We're
jamming.
The mashup, is that on the thing? Oh, is that a bit?
It was a bit.
That's like two in a row. We've done two in a row. This is what this is, we need
Oscar. Charlie and Harrigan.
This is what the show will devolve to if it is just you and me. We will go back to hack.
No, no, no.
Prepared DJ comedy.
Mike, this is red hot, and you've got to see it. If you haven't seen it, you are in for a treat.
All right.
Germany, of course, known more when they say football, they mean soccer.
Yes.
But something new is happening in Germany. They call American ice football. And what they do is they play American rules football on a hockey rink on ice
with skates. Regular
shoes. And I'm no big sports guy.
Now I'm interested.
But I'm watching.
Okay.
Über den Lauf. Es geht über. Da ist er. Es geht über Ailton. Kleines, dickes Ailton. Mit dem Touchdown für den Norden.
Werden am heutigen Abend. Wir haben schon einen Krimi vorhin erlebt beim knapp 20-19.
Oh my.
Des Westens.
Aren't you into it?
Vegas. Aber
I wouldn't
Steve,
go so
sehr,
far
sehr schöne
as to
Lauftechnik
say
da. Das soll er sich sparen.
He's
das ist arrogant. Das ist taunting. Das wird in der NFL den Panzer. Oh, da ist schon.
Did he say taunting in German?
Yes. Yeah.
Das ist taunting.
Gedrückt und geschoben worden und Schanbacher kommt
fumble.
Nicht auf die Füße. So, ein Pass nach vorne.
And they can't get back to
weiter
it.
Weiter geht's. Und er bleibt auf den Beinen. Schanbacher, der Quarterback, bleibt
this
auf
is
den Beinen. So, da er hier nicht als Quarterback fungiert.
I kill it, Matt. Thank
ist
you.
Ist das meiner Meinung nach?
The next big thing, invest in it, Rob. Put all your money
so
into it. All
it
your savings put into it. That's fantastic.
Huge. And speaking of football, Mike, I wanted to bring you a tape to make you happy.
Okay, I'm ready.
I know
I'm
that
ready
made you happy, but this will please you to the core.
Okay.
This is, have you ever heard of a football player called Tom Brady?
Tom Brady, not to the best of my, I don't know anything about that.
Well, he had this to say on how the team felt after losing the Super Bowl to the Giants. Mike, it can happen again.
They run out the clock. The Giants have won the Super Bowl.
We were crushed. I was crushed. My teammates were crushed. Coaches were crushed. That was a history-making game. That would have been everything. And I remember getting to the bus in Arizona. There was not a sound. It was pitch dark. There was no sleep. There was no sleep for a long time.
So, Mike, there it goes. That's what
you
the
know,
Giants
though,
did.
Here we go. And this is, I really do believe it. When it comes to the Giants right now, if I can just get a bit dorky on sports for a second here. Right?
Yeah.
The Giants are dealing with whether or not they draft a quarterback because they've got this guy, Daniel Jones.
Right.
Take all the playing ability out of it, which ultimately it does require you to play well. But mm-hmm. the personality of the guy, the fire of the guy that is known as the GOAT, and for him to feel that – as fans who have their guts ripped out because they love a team so much, you want your guy to feel that way after a loss. And
you're right.
You know what? One of the things I've always said to my son, and it was said to me, you don't think they feel bad? They feel just as bad as you do. They're living it. They're living
yeah.
that moment. So when you hear that coming from Tom Brady, who gets darts thrown at him all the time, you know that's a guy that, you know, gives it all. And I think that's kind of, that makes him look pretty good when you played that clip.
You don't think that Daniel Jones feels it after a loss?
He's gotten to be pretty good at it. Daniel Jones is, in the words, I'm quoting the Boomer Esiason show, where they kind of consider him a flatliner, where there's just nothing going on. I'll take a little swagger. I'll take a little anger. I'll take a little personality. I think you have to have that element to, look at the Tommy DeVito for his little brief. He didn't last long, but when he was there, he had a pulse. That's what we want as fans. We want somebody that's lively. Patrick Mahomes has a little swagger and a little personality. Travis Kelce has that too. That's what we want in our sports.
They got the Riz. They got something going on. Something makes them fun to watch.
Way to use the slang. That you really is not the proper use of the slang.
No, they have charisma.
No,
and that makes
that's
them
not
fun to
the
watch.
Proper use of it. My son would correct you with that. Riz is specifically the way he explained it to me about attracting people, the other sex.
Well, you don't think they can attract other people?
Thank you, Mac. I'm right. Riz is not.
Yes.
Rob just likes to use slang that he gets from his kids when he can. That's what he likes to do.
I withdraw the Riz. Nobody beats the Riz.
You know, really, after that segment we did, after the Charlie and Harrigan segment, you got to be careful about using modern slang incorrectly, because that just makes you sound even older, Charlie.
I know, Mike. I might get cramps, Irv. Buster is a good dog, Mike.
You got the Riz, Rob.
Thank you, buddy. And as you know, the weather is getting warmer, and Buster wants to get in the hot tub.
Okay.
But Buster should not get in the hot tub.
Is the hot tub really hot?
No, he's not going to like cook him or anything. Okay. It's just you don't want a dog in the hot tub. But the mom says no, the dog says yes. Who wins? You will see. Who's a good boy?
All right.
Not Buster. Big white dog.
Hey, put that leg down. Put it down.
He's leaning. He's got his paws in the hot
tub. That leg down. Put it down. Put your leg down. Buster.
Oh, he's
Buster.
Loving it.
Didn't he we loves say it. Not
oh, my
to get
God.
In the hot
that
tub.
Dog is in love with that hot tub.
I love him. It's Buster.
Oh,
Buster,
I'm putting my dog in one. I swear to God. That's beautiful. That's a beautiful moment.
Let's do two more quick ones. This is so awesome. In the area of New York City, there is the Albert Einstein School of Medicine. And it is it's a very well-regarded school. But like any college, it's expensive. Any university is expensive. They got a donation in excess of $1 billion. And what they were able to announce to their... Yes, billion with a B.
Wow.
What they were able to announce to their entire current student body is that their tuition, it's free.
I'm happy to share with you that starting in August this year, the Albert Einstein College of Medicine will be tuition free.
Free medical school. Albert Einstein College of Medicine has received a gift that will ensure free tuition for all of the students at the Bronx School. The $1 billion donation made by Dr. Ruth Gottesman, the chair of the Einstein Board of Trustees.
Beautiful.
All current fourth-year students are going to get back their spring 2024 semester tuition, and effective beginning in August of this year, all students moving forward will receive free tuition.
Can you even imagine?
Beautiful.
But what a grand moment.
You know, and it does give you pause when you think about these people that have so, so much and where it goes. And, man, I mean, if I was in that stratosphere, I think, could there be any greater satisfaction than pulling something off like that?
No.
How cool is that? Wow.
And fantastic. Especially cool for the students of this most recent semester that already paid and are going to get a refund.
Beautiful.
I love it.
And
I just wanted to spotlight it.
Because we need more doctors.
Yeah, I hear
here.
And speaking of money, Mike, you know what's really, this is what we close with. It's so sad. John Ray is a comedian, and he's really having trouble with credit card debt.
I got the most depressing envelope I ever got in my life last week. I read the letter. Apparently, I've been pre-denied for a Visa card. I think they talked to MasterCard, and that's what I think happened. I owe so much money to MasterCard. I saw a homeless guy. He was like, I have nothing. I'm like, that is awesome. I have $18,000 less than that. You're doing great. You're not even in the negative numbers. You're even. How'd you get even?
Pre-disapproved.
Pre-disapproved. I like
That's
it.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Hey, we got to get out of here. We'll have Oscar back with us tomorrow, yes. Ladies and gentlemen. Happy birthday, Shannon.
Yay, Shannon.
Happy, happy, happy. We'll be back with a brand new episode. Thank you for all of your support. Please keep buying those lovely stickers at the TMOSstore.com. Please support our Patreon. Please support by getting our bonus show subscriptions. All of it makes the show tick. We sincerely appreciate that. For Rob Spiewak, Mike McIntosh, and Oscar Santana, this is Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Thank you, Rob Mayer, and we will ciao, ciao. Ciao, ciao, ciao,
ciao. Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara bonus show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
See, when you come out of those up-tempo goddamn numbers, man, it's impossible to make those transitions. And then you got to go into somebody dying.
I want you to start absorbing what I'm saying to you. You just want to talk. I'm not your psychiatrist.
Goodbye.